This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your desktop or mobile device. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter. Visit enterpriseinspace.org for more details.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, are...
Kay Shaw and...
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, today we are going to be discussing one of the most controversial topics in all of Voyager fandom. We're going to be talking about Fairhaven.
Boo!
And we're not just going to be talking about Fairhaven. We are going to do a Fairhaven rewrite.
Yay!
I'm excited about this. We said we were going to do this when we did our very first episode, and I've been looking forward to getting my teeth into this. So
now, wait a minute. I call BS. Before the show, you guys were saying, "Oh, I don't want to watch Fairhaven.
I didn't want to watch it.
No, I didn't want to.
I'm calling you out right now. That's total
and
BS.
And I still say the only way to make it better is to blow it up. Get rid of it. Make it go away.
I didn't want to watch it, but now we get to fix it, so... I'm happy about this part. We've done the bit I wasn't looking forward to.
The only way to really fix it is delete the barkeep.
Okay, wait, before we dive in to start talking about the rewrite, I do want to ask you guys a fundamental question. What exactly do you not like about Fairhaven? Does it all just boil down to Michael Sullivan getting in the way of Captain Janeway and Chakotay? Or is there something else you don't like about the episode?
The main part for me is Michael Sullivan, but I also don't like Fairhaven itself.
And the fact that it has literally no plot.
Fairhaven itself feels to me like the Ireland Pavilion at Epcot. It's just fake. Like really, really stereotypical fake. It's awful.
Kay, you're closer to the Irish people than we are over there in the UK. Is this authentically Irish or is this an Irish caricature?
Well, I have been to Ireland and it wasn't a lot like that, I have to say. So.
Except for the drinking, maybe?
Speaking of drinking, they have Guinness signs all over the bar, but nobody in this episode drinks a proper pint of Guinness. Nobody.
What are they drinking? I didn't really notice.
There was a light beer and an amber beer. There was no Guinness.
It's a crime that they're not drinking Guinness because in Ireland, the Guinness tastes so much better than it does anywhere else.
I'll have to take your word for it, but I totally believe
them. They keep the best stuff for themselves.
Well, that's what... Mexico does with tequila. They keep the best stuff for themselves.
The only Guinness I've ever enjoyed is the Guinness I had when I was in Ireland.
So if you order a pint in Fairhaven, does that count against your replicator rations? Are you drinking a holographic pint or are you drinking a real pint?
I don't know.
I say it's going to count against your rations.
Is this like an exception to the rule? Is this a loophole?
I always thought that the food and drink that shows up in the holodeck is replicated food and drink, the same as what you'd get out of the replicator elsewhere. So, yeah, I think it probably does.
I like the idea that you could get around having to spend your replicator rations by just going to hang out in Sandrine's or in
Maybe Fairhaven. That's why Tom hangs out there so much.
Could be.
If anybody is going to find a loophole, it would be Tom Paris.
That's where B'Elanna goes for her blood wine.
The only way he ever has any replicator rations left is when he's betting on Harry arm wrestling. But then I don't think he won any there because nobody was expecting Harry to win, were they? So.
No, the doctor won, only because he was bullied into
only
betting.
Only after, like, Tom persuaded him to change it
he
from
was
the other
bullied.
Guy.
Do you think if B'Elanna goes in there into the pub in Fairhaven on St. Patrick's Day, does she order a green Klingon blood wine? Like a, is that like Vulcan blood wine?
I was going to say that'd be Vulcan blood wine.
I don't know, because we didn't even get B'Elanna in this episode. She wasn't even in it.
She was in it for like a minute. Oh. And that was it.
Was she? I must have missed her.
Because it was B'Elanna with the perm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was nowhere near enough B'Elanna in this episode, though.
It's that moist, foggy, coastal Fairhaven air.
No, she was in like Astrometrics.
Oh.
The fog drifted over.
Well, there's a lot of hot air.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure she never showed up in the actual program. So, there you go. That's our first rewrite point. B'Elanna shows up.
Well, okay. Well, I guess we need to dive in and start doing our actual rewrite. So I think the fundamental question for the rewrite is which parts need to stay and which parts need to go? Like, what's our starting point? Presumably, there still is a Fairhaven. It's still on the holodeck. It's still Irish.
Yes.
Where do we go from there? Which parts have to stay?
Yeah, well, we have to keep that because otherwise we might as well just write a whole new episode about something else.
But we could take it one of two ways. We could either go more stereotypical and start introducing leprechauns and fairies and all kinds of nutty stuff. Or we could take it more realistic. So which way would we go?
Okay.
I'm not feeling the holographic Irish Tinkerbell.
Yeah, I think we should go more realism.
But what about the leprechauns, man?
Are you dying to put a leprechaun in there? Like pots of gold and rainbows and...
The leprechaun from the horror movie The Leprechaun. That would be the one I'd put in there.
Leprechaun the Awakening.
Exactly.
Don't we get a reference to Lucky Charms? Doesn't someone say, oh, he's after me, Lucky Charms? Doesn't someone say that essentially inside this episode? Like the guy who's begging for money? They're always after me, Lucky Charms.
All I'm thinking about now is Lucky Charms breakfast cereal.
Oh, I love Lucky Charms. It's green hearts, yellow clovers, blue diamonds, and purple horseshoes.
Well, I'm old enough to remember when before there were purple horseshoes, so that still never rings true to me. And now it's all weird. Well, we were trying to figure out what we should keep and what should go. So do we get more stereotypical Irish or do we get less stereotypical Irish? Do we want leprechauns and Irish fairies and, you know, Lucky Charms references and things like that? Or is that, would that make, that's, I mean, Fairhaven's already pretty over the top, right? So I don't think we should go that direction myself. I don't know if we should make it any less Irish. I just don't think we should make it any more stereotypically Irish.
I think I agree. We might be able to fit an odd leprechaun in, though.
Yay! A killer leprechaun?
Well, I do have a vague idea, but I might get shot down in flames for this one.
Well, what's your idea?
Q shows up in a leprechaun outfit.
If Q can make Robin Hood happen, then showing up in a leprechaun outfit is not outside the realm of possibility for Q.
I think Q showing up in Fairhaven would make it infinitely better, because it'd just be funny.
With his pot of gold.
Exactly. See, already it's entertaining where it wasn't before.
I think I'd giggle way too much watching that. Because John DeLancey could pull
that off. If anyone's going to play the leprechaun.
Yeah.
Sure, of course he could. You know, he's trancing around in his green outfit for the pot of gold. And...
But would he make himself shorter, too?
Yeah, I think so.
Like a little miniature John DeLancey running
around? It'd be a little John DeLancey.
Mini John DeLancey.
Kind of, are you thinking like squished, like when the doctor was squished? Or are you thinking like miniature, like a hobbit?
I think like garden gnome sized is where I'm going.
Oh, real small. Yeah. Garden gnome sized John DeLancey.
And he'd be sitting on the bar.
Drinking a proper pint of Guinness.
Katie O'Clair.
So, I know this is a little tongue-in-cheek, but are we serious? Should we try to fuse Q into... Okay, we're serious. We're going this direction.
I'm all in.
But aside from that, we're going less stereotypical. Just Q dressed as the leprechaun and the rest of it's going to be better.
So Captain Janeway about Michael Sullivan would say, delete the wife, but give me Q.
No, because there wouldn't be a Michael Sullivan.
No, there is going to be a Michael Sullivan, but we're going to fix it.
That was actually my next question. Which characters stay and which characters go? I think the Irish town folk need to stay generally as
gotta
they are.
Keep
they don't bother me at all. But
yeah,
I know Michael Sullivan bothers you guys. Yeah. And he doesn't bother me so much because I think the scenes between Captain Janeway and Michael Sullivan are charming.
I don't mind him staying, but I think we should have it happen differently.
But Suzanne wants him to go all together. Like, no
delete
more Michael Sullivan.
The barkeep.
No modifications. Not 3 centimeters taller. No Michael Sullivan at any height.
Keep the wife. Delete the barkeep.
No, keep him. We can still make it better.
Make it better then. Convince me.
Okay. So we get the whole first scene with Janeway playing rings with him and blah, blah, all the rest of it. But then when the wife comes to walk in, it's not the wife, it's Chakotay. And he's like,
okay.
So what's going on here then? And she's like, nothing. I'm going to leave now.
And that's it?
No, that's not it. That's just the first bit. She has a whole, oh, whoops, maybe this was a bit weird and I shouldn't be doing it. I just like the idea that it's Chakotay who walks in and he's like, oh, hello there. What's going on here? And she's like, nothing. Kind of like when she sees him on the street in the morning. Only more awkward.
And he's like, Captain?
I can kind of picture it. So they leave the holodeck and they're in the corridor and he says, I don't know why, Captain, but this holodeck program bothers the hell out of me.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He has to go whittle something to calm down.
Yes.
And it should be like, I didn't know you were the jealous type, Commander. Well, another direction. I kind of thought maybe my idea here in terms of what to do with Michael Sullivan was maybe keep the basic idea of someone falling for a holographic character, but get Captain Janeway and Chakotay out of it. Like, make it about someone else. Like, could Tom Paris fall for someone on the holodeck, or could Harry Kim, or could B'Elanna Torres? Like, who else could fall for a holographic character? Would that help or that
Harry's
help?
Already fallen for a holographic character.
Well, it's a little too stereotypical with Harry, so it can't be Harry. And Tom is hooked up with B'Elanna, so it can't have that.
Neelix.
Well, he looks like a leprechaun. What are you talking about?
He does.
I never thought of that, but why isn't Neelix in Fairhaven? He could play the leprechaun, absolutely.
Now, we get a whole bunch of things that get referred to. Oh, Neelix is going to go down to the Ox and Lamb and make some like random stew, and Chakotay's like, oh, I'm gonna go
blood
meet
pudding
him there, and all this kind of thing. We never get to see any of it. I want to see all that stuff.
I know.
I want to see all that stuff as well.
I wanted to see the ox and lamb. We don't go inside there.
Do you think they serve bangers and Leola root?
Oh,
I've told you before, you don't want to be eating bangers. I don't know about in the States, but in the UK, they call them bangers when they're not, they don't have enough meat in to legally be allowed to be called a sausage.
Oh,
I don't know. I didn't
so
know.
So you
that.
Don't want to be eating bangers because they're just full of I don't even know what.
I just don't like them because they're bland.
Well, it's because they have no meat in them.
Oh, there are hot dogs. That's
but
our
these
hot
are
dogs.
Replicated bangers.
But they wouldn't be bangers, they'd be sausages. And you definitely wouldn't get bangers in Ireland. They eat proper food in Ireland. They don't eat rubbish food. Nice like sausages.
What? I wanted to see the blood pudding.
Wait, you said blood pudding? Like roe cake blood pudding?
Maybe.
Blood pudding.
I can picture Worf saying, if Worf was in Fairhaven, I'll take some roe cake blood pudding.
This is why B'Elanna should be there. And also, the other point as well is the fact that after we've done the other stuff that we're going to do in a minute, if B'Elanna was there, we could totally have her punch Michael Sullivan.
I could see that. Absolutely.
That would totally work.
Could punch Michael Sullivan. He's a boxer.
That is true.
Well, Michael Sullivan does get a little beat up in this, right? Hey, you look like you started fighting again, right?
Well, he started that fight, so this is a bit different.
Yeah, but if B'Elanna punched him back, that would make so much sense.
It would. Yeah, if B'Elanna was there during the fight, she'd just deck him, wouldn't she?
Yes.
That'd be brilliant.
Okay, so we got to kind of like bring our ideas together. So do we keep Michael Sullivan or not?
We keep him because the bit that I really wanted to do was when she decides that she's going to go and like alter his program. In our version, what's going to happen is she goes and makes these alterations and she's like, oh, computer, you know, make him this much taller. Oh, computer, do this. Oh, computer, do that. And then she realizes after like she's made X number of changes that she's making him into Chakotay.
So all he needs then is the tattoo and it's Chakotay.
And then she has like a dun 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 realization moment.
Revelation.
Yeah.
She's like, make him taller. Give him some salt and pepper gray hair.
Yeah.
Make those shoulders broader.
Computer, put a tattoo over his left eye. Oh my god, look what I just did.
I made it Chakotay.
So I think there's a lot of little threads we could follow here, like things we could add into our Fairhaven rewrite to kind of jazz things up, mix it up, make it a little more amusing, make it a little less annoying here. But we still need it to be a good episode. So I'm going to like bring in some of my philosophy training in.
Okay.
I want to talk about Aristotle's theory of drama. We need some tension. We need a climax and we need a catharsis. So what is our dramatic tension?
We need a plot. We need an actual plot because it's all just a bit like...
They have a vague science plot going on with, like, the whole thing that makes Tuvok space sick and all the rest of it. But it seems, apart from the bit where they go, oh God, we're going to have to use the energy from the holodecks, which is weird because they've never been able to do that before. And they have to, like, dump Fairhaven. That's the only link between that and that.
I do think the whole, we can only save 5 or 10% of Fairhaven is a bit of a stretch. Like, it's a computer program. Can't you just, like, save it and reboot it? Like, I don't understand.
Isn't it, like, autosave as it goes along?
Yeah, reboot.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, computer games do that
did
now.
Did you try turning it off and then rebooting? Turning it off, yeah, and like turning it back on again.
Did you try turning your holodeck off and back on again?
Do you know what? I know this is skipping to a different episode, but my brain's just reminding me of that quote where Jane Wren Chakotay is sitting on the bridge and she goes, I've got a boyfriend who malfunctions, and my brain just filled in Chakotay going, have you tried turning him off and turning him back on again?
Like in that British show, The IT Crowd?
Oh, The IT Crowd.
Is it called The IT Crowd or The IT
Crowd? Oh, I don't know.
But in the very first episode of that show, you know, I guess the running joke throughout the show is every time someone calls tech support, they're always like, did you try turning it off and back on again? Do you think that's what happens when someone calls engineering to solve a problem? Like B'Elanna, the holodeck's out again. She's like, did you try turning it off and back on again? I can picture all these yellow shirts down in engineering saying, did you try turning
reboot
it off and back
the holodeck.
On again? Try rebooting your gel pack, please.
Yeah. Okay, so we've already decided that Q's going to show up. Because it's just funny, and he just would.
Yes.
I just feel like any costume episode of Star Trek should involve Q, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Fairhaven is already so campy, so Q, with his campiness being in there, totally fits. And so Q is going to introduce the drama that moves the plot forward and introduces the drama. What kind of drama is he going to introduce? Like, what problem does Q create?
Well, I think Q shows up as his leprechaun, and he's like all, ooh, go find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That sounds like an exciting epic quest.
Like, if you don't find the pot of gold in time, like, the universe ends? Like, what?
Yeah,
what
and it's a metaphor for some science that's going on outside the holodeck, because it's always good when the A plot and the B plot. I really like episodes where the A plot and the B plot kind of mesh with each other.
So it has something to do with the neutronic wavefront, then.
Ooh, get you and your science.
Thank you very much.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
I don't know how.
So there's some science going on with this neutronic wavefront. We've got Leprechaun Q with his pot of gold, which is a metaphor for something that I don't understand yet. What?
Maybe the path to find the pot of gold is the path they should take through the neutronic wavefront to get out with as little damage as possible.
Oh, that's brilliant. So, like, you're playing Candyland or something. Like, you're hopping through this little leprechaun path.
Yeah.
And that provides the way out for Voyager. Like, if you can solve Q's little leprechaun problem, then you can save the ship.
This is like Voyager's version of Move Along Home. I'm loving it already.
Oh, I love it because there's some serious save the ship involved, and that's very Voyager. Yep. Oh my God, the ship's in danger. We're going to science something. We don't understand it. We have some techno babble. And then Q comes along, and he's a leprechaun with his pot of gold, and you dance through the Irish Candyland, find the path, find the pot of gold, and then you save the ship.
Yeah, because they're stuck in the holodeck and they can't save it a normal way. Because getting stuck in the holodeck is always fun.
Like everyone's stuck in the holodeck?
Yep, everyone.
Who's on the bridge?
Neelix.
It's on autopilot.
Neelix is busy making his Leola root.
His blood pudding.
Blood pudding in the ox and lamb, yeah.
I think this is a solid start. It's an interesting idea.
It's a bit crazy.
No, I like it, though.
Sorry, did you hear our plot for a movie and you call this a bit crazy?
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. To be fair, I think the episode, it's quite out there anyway, and it's quite wacky, so I don't think we're going too off-piece, like, making it go this way.
No, not at all.
That's what I'm saying. The campiness is okay. So, okay, if you have to, like, find your way along, it's not enough just to, like, wander into the hills and find a path, right? There has to be some obstacles along the way to finding it. What are the obstacles along the way to
riddles.
Finding a pot of gold?
There have to be some riddles.
By Rumpelstiltskin?
I could picture the Doctor busting out with his cultural knowledge of literature and this, that, and the other thing, and he knows all the limericks.
Limericks? Does he know the dirty limericks, too?
Come on, we've got to come up with a limerick now. There was a young man from Fairhaven.
Are you saying you want to come up with a Star Trek-themed Irish dirty limerick?
Somebody has to.
There once was a hologram from Nantucket.
No, it's got to be Fairhaven.
But he's from Fairhaven.
But Nantucket's too easy. Come on.
What rhymes with haven?
Nothing.
No. Graven rhymes with haven.
Raven?
I was thinking graven, like a graven situation.
We've got Graven and we've got Raven. This is getting a bit Lovecraft or Edgar Allan Poe at this point.
Yes.
There once was a hologram from Fairhaven who blah, 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 blah with his raven.
Who was in a situation that was very Graven. There once was a hologram from Fairhaven who was stuck in a situation that was very Graven.
Situation most Graven. There you go.
Most Graven, yes. Most Graven.
He went on a quest to... I can't come up with anything now that's something that's not to do with his vest.
Well, no, let's do it. That's okay. He went on a quest.
Breast.
And...
We all were thinking it. Okay, let's just get it out there.
With a clover on his breast.
Yes. And...
And then the last bit has to rhyme with the first bit, right? Isn't that how a limerick goes? Mm-hmm.
Yes. I can't think of any other rhymes apart from Raven, so a raven has to come into it somewhere.
Yeah.
See, it would be most useful if that was the name of the ship, but it isn't.
I'm Googling. What rhymes with Haven?
Okay, so he went on a quest with a... What was it? What was the next line?
A clover on his breast.
A clover on his breast. And all the Irish lasses were waving. We got to do the whole thing. I think we got it right. There once was a hologram from Fairhaven. What was the next line?
Who was stuck in a situation most Graven.
He went on a quest.
He went on a quest.
With a clover on his breast, and all the Irish lasses were waving.
There you go. Yeah, we win at poetry. You know, it's funny, actually, that we've come up with that, because I'm pretty sure that that's the poem that Michael Sullivan was reading at the train station when Janeway showed up.
No, in our version, Michael Sullivan never got rewritten by Captain Janeway. He's not into reading.
Yeah, so he doesn't like books. He doesn't like to read.
No, because she nearly made him into Chakotay, and then she freaked out and deleted him.
See, delete the barkeep. It works.
Yeah.
Are you saying Captain Janeway would turn him into like an Irish archaeologist?
Who likes to box and whittle things.
And then, of course, she goes into the program and she asks if somebody can give her directions. Obviously not to Michael Sullivan because he's not there now. But she ends up at the train station and it's Chakotay sitting in the train station reading poetry. As we know, Chakotay does read poetry.
Yes, yes, he does.
Mostly from the books that she's lent him.
Yeah, what's the Irish version of the Inferno?
The Irish version of the Inferno? Something by Seamus Heaney, I don't know. Actually, that's really weird because Seamus Heaney did a translation of the Inferno. And, factoid, right, here you go. This is interesting. So, in Shattered, we actually get a quote from Dante's Inferno, which is, "In the midway of the journey of our life, we find ourselves astray in a dark wood in which the straight road has been lost."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the very beginning of the Inferno.
And
yeah.
That quote that's used in that episode is from the Seamus Heaney translation of Inferno.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Well, there you go.
It's all cyclical.
It means something. I don't know what, but it must mean something.
So he's sat in the train station reading the Seamus Heaney translation of Inferno, which is obviously the one Janeway has.
Well, if he's doing that, has to feature later in the story. So obstacle number one is like, you know, say the limerick in the right way. So the doctor gets the limerick thing down and he says this cool limerick that we just came up with. What's obstacle cool number two? Does it involve...
That's not cool.
That I'm not ever going to say again.
It's something, but it's not cool. Carry on.
I don't know. I thought the end I came up with
was
pretty
funny.
Good.
But, it was funny. It was funny. I'm not sure cool is the right word, but it was amusing.
And obstacle number two has to involve the Irish translation that you just mentioned of the Inferno for some reason, because we're trying to tie it all together.
Yeah, and then Chakotay is the one who knows the quote, obviously, as we already know. Because when he quotes it in Shattered, that's to the other Janeway.
Mm-hmm.
And our Janeway never gets to hear him say it. So if he says it in this episode, that means our Janeway gets to hear him say it. And she's like, oh, he read my book and memorized it.
I'm a little confused about the details here. Like, so what exactly is the obstacle that the limerick overcomes? And what exactly is the obstacle that this quote from the Inferno overcomes?
It all deals with the neutronic wave front. All of it. I don't know how. You got to tech the tech and science the science, but it all deals with it.
Is it kind of like space Morse code, where if you get the syllables right and, you know, the accents and the consonants and the vowels?
Think of it like a hall of mirrors.
I think they've gotten stuck. So before the Wavefront thingy shows up, they've gotten stuck in the holodeck, and then Q shows up and Q's like, oh, I can help you fix this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to funnel the energy through the holodeck and in doing this mad thing that I've come up with, which is caused by the energy going through the holodeck, you will find your way out of it.
Miniature Q.
Leprechaun Q. Yeah.
With his proper pint of Guinness.
This makes no less sense than the science in any other episode, so it's all good.
Hobbit Q.
No, he doesn't have hairy feet.
He's smaller than a hobbit.
No, Neelix has hairy feet, so perhaps Neelix is a hobbit.
He is. He's a space hobbit. I thought we'd established this before. Talaxians are space hobbits.
I don't know. With those mutton chops he's got on his face, he looks a little Irish there, too.
Talaxians are a cross between leprechauns and hobbits, is what you're saying.
Space hobbit leprechauns, yeah.
Okay, so he's brought this thing into the holodeck. He's miniaturized the non-science.
The neutronic wavefront.
That thing that I can't remember, the neutronic wavefront. He's brought the neutronic wavefront into the holodeck. He's miniaturized it, as Q is prone to doing. Like he did that with the Calamarain, right? So he can miniaturize things. And they have to kind of tap dance their way through the neutronic wavefront by figuring out limericks and figuring out this Irish version of the Inferno.
There's going to be some kind of river with like exciting stepping stones that they have to step on the right stones as well. That sounds legit. This is definitely turning into Move Along Home. Brandon will be pleased. Some sort of maze. Mazes are good.
I still feel like it's missing something. Like, I don't understand what the danger is. Like, what's... I mean, yes, okay. If
the ship's
going to
explode if they don't do it.
It'll be ripped apart.
As they start along the Irish Candyland path, what happens?
Well, we can still get all the kind of ship juddering and stuff that we were having outside. And of course, because they're all stuck in there, and then Tuvok's there as well. So Tuvok's still struggling with his bonkers space sickness, so that can cause some extra hilarity.
Yeah, they have to leave him on the side of the road.
Yeah, throwing up.
Hey, space sickness is no joke, man.
It is no joke.
I don't know. Maybe Tuvok just had one too many at the pub.
That's where all the Guinness went.
That's why there's no Guinness, because Tuvok drank it all.
Well, it's that Vulcan metabolism, you know.
Yeah, but once you've drunk the entire barrel of Guinness, that's even going to affect a Vulcan, surely.
Have a gallon of Guinness with your bowl of termites, that Vulcan metabolism.
So they go through it, and everybody's got their own little bit that they can be good at. That would be nice. Everybody gets their own little moment.
So what's Chakotay's moment?
The Dante thing.
There still needs to be a little romance in the episode.
We need a wood. There needs to be a wood with, like, bendy paths.
I mean, the Inferno's kind of Italian, so I'm not sure. I'm worried we're mixing metaphors a little bit.
It's Star Trek. We're allowed to do that.
But it's Seamus Heaney's translation. I thought we'd already sorted that out.
Okay, so that's enough to settle the issue. Okay, I feel like there still needs to be a little romance in the episode. Yeah. Because this is a cute little romantic
story. Must have romance.
Captain Janeway with Michael.
Janeway is already freaking out about the fact that she accidentally nearly made Michael Sullivan into Chakotay. Then Chakotay's all heroic with his Dante thing, so she's practically melting at this point.
Okay, so I'm following you. So she's freaked out. She realizes what she's done. She's made the connection between Michael and Chakotay.
So she finally realizes she's in love with Chakotay.
Yeah.
And how does that play into the episode? What happens?
So there's a moment where she goes off and has a little walk with the doctor, like she has in the episode where she's talking to the doctor about, oh, this thing with a hologram, rah, rah, rah.
That's one of my favorite scenes, actually. We need a parallel to that scene.
So we need to remash up that scene where he persuades her that actually, no, it is fine for her to have a thing with Chakotay.
Yes, it is.
Instead of him saying, you're stupid, oh, you can't be in a relationship with any of your subordinates, he says, well, actually, you can, it's fine.
Yes. So is that conversation still with the doctor?
Yes. Because he's a priest.
The doctor in his priest garb. And okay.
Yeah.
And that's still a thing in this episode. Okay, I like that part of Fairhaven. I don't want to lose that because it's fun.
Oh, yeah. The doctor as the priest is awesome.
So I can picture the doctor like, I couldn't help but notice that you made Michael look a little bit like Chakotay.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, you're starting to pry, doctor.
So then she has a big confession about her feelings for Chakotay.
She's like, okay, you want a confession? Here you go. And then...
dun, dun, dun.
And he's like, well, you should do something about that. And then, after they've resolved the whole quest thing, right? At the end, they all go back to the Oxford Lab.
For some blood pudding.
Neelix is cooking.
Naturally.
Michael Sullivan shows up, drunk. And, like, shrieking. B'Elanna knocks him out.
But does he have the tattoo?
No, she didn't keep any of the changes. Remember? She deleted all the changes.
She didn't keep any of it. Yeah. Okay. She deleted all the changes. I thought maybe she changed him and he kept the changes.
She did, but then when she's had the conversation with the doctor, then she deletes them again.
Actually, it would be funnier if he kept
the, if he kept the tattoo.
If he kept the changes. Like, so at the end scene. Yeah. Okay. At the end scene, after Captain Janeway has realized the connection with Chakotay, they go through the Irish Candyland, they recite the limericks, they recite the Dante thing, they get rid of the neutronic waveform thing that I can't remember.
Neutronic wavefront.
They're back in the Oxen Lamb, and Michael Sullivan sits down, and he's got his tattoo, and Chakotay sits down, and they just look at each other.
And then he starts getting all, "Oh, my woman," etc. And then B'Elanna knocks him out, because it's funny. And then they have the arm wrestling match that they didn't manage to have earlier, which Harry wins again. And then, no, I've worked it out. It's brilliant. It's beautiful, right? And then Seven and Janeway have a rings match, and Janeway beats Seven at the rings.
Oh,
going back to our velocity thing from last week.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
I'm with you on that. Absolutely.
And then they both win, and then they go to the bar, and then they have a celebratory kiss, and the entire crew goes, hooray!
Yay!
Oh, yeah, I'm with you on most of it. The thing I really want to see now, I want to see Chakotay arm wrestling Michael Sullivan, each of which, you know, each have their tattoos, and they're arm wrestling, and the tattoos are, like, on the same side, so you can see both of their tattoos at the same time.
And then Q comes up behind Chakotay and goes, here's his bigger.
I was going to say, Q has to come back. Yes.
I'm not sure we've made Fairhaven any better, but we've made it different.
It's better
for sure.
Okay,
it's better.
I would watch this way more than the other one.
Mm-hmm. It'd be hilarious.
I don't mind campy, silly Star Trek. That's why Fairhaven doesn't bother me in the first place. I don't mind my silly, campy Star Trek, and we've made it campier and sillier, and I love that.
Yeah, because we've already mentioned the parallels between this and the Deep Space Nine episode Move Along Home, which has this whole kind of idea of a bit of a linear quest type thing going on in it. And I actually think that episode, idea of that episode works better in Voyager with the feel than it does in Deep Space Nine, especially at this stage. Because it just doesn't work in Deep Space Nine, I don't think. But in Voyager, I think it would work much better.
Voyager delves into the ridiculous.
So it'd be like
so
Move Along
much,
Voyager.
Move Along.
I'm loving this. I'm liking this a lot.
And we came up with a limerick.
We did. And we still have to have the sequel in which Harry kisses a cow.
Yes.
I'll put the limerick in the show notes for you listeners out there in case you want to. Use it as occasion calls.
Amazing.
It is an open source Irish to the journey.
We're not going to copyright it. We're going to throw this one out there.
That's how we roll.
We will forego the millions we could make from it.
Millions in gold.
Millions, yes. Are we happy with the details, or do we want to throw anything else in here?
Well, I think we need to just make sure we've dotted the I's and crossed the T's. Like, is there anything else from Fairhaven? Any little threads or strands that we like or don't like that we want to include or not include in our rewrite?
I quite like the idea that Tom's kind of, the whole time that they're doing this quest and stuff, Tom's kind of freaking out going, I didn't write it this way. This is not what's supposed to be happening.
That would be really good.
Because he keeps going, oh no, we can't make any changes. It's perfect the way it is.
Who keeps changing this?
I could picture Tuvok saying something like, Vulcan literature has no leprechauns.
Yes.
In between his puking on the side of the road.
Yes.
Well, that's why your holodeck programs are no fun,
yes,
Tuvok.
In between his puking on the side of the road. Classy, this episode is classy. Classy. Tom and Q need to have an argument. We need to see Tom and Q having an argument.
Why Tom and Q?
Because Q keeps messing with the holodeck program.
Yeah, because Q keeps messing up his program. Yeah.
I could kind of picture this. So we earlier we asked the question, like, why are we having this Irish translation of the Inferno, which is an Italian thing, in Fairhaven? Well, okay, so when Q does the thing and it's all about this Irish translation of the Inferno, I could picture Tom going, that's not Irish. That doesn't belong in Fairhaven.
That works.
That's not authentic.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason we've really got it in here is because it's all about the, you know, going along the path of, oh, I love him, finally admitting, etc.
Yes. Yes.
Finally.
Hallelujah.
At the end of most Q episodes, Q has to say something witty, maybe inspirational as Q gets softer over the years. it's definitely amusing. You know, what's Q's like signature sign off in like in that episode in The Next Generation when he shows up with the ponchos and the trumpet and the whatever. You know what I'm talking about. What
I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah, like what? But what does he do though? To in this episode, what's the Irish sign off that Q does?
Something to do with the luck of the Irish.
It's got to be, you know, because I think the way that Q normally operates is that whatever ends up happening, Q always kind of acts like it was his idea all along.
It was his idea. He made it happen.
This is what I meant to happen.
Mm-hmm. A zinger. You need a Q zinger. An Irish Q zinger. We came up with an Irish limerick. We have to come up with an Irish Q zinger. Ugh.
Maybe we have to come up with another limerick at the end.
Yeah, right. He's got to book in the limerick thing, maybe.
There once was a Q from the continuum.
Oh, that's going to be hard to rhyme stuff to.
That's off to a good start.
I know.
There once was a Q from the continuum. He was stuck in Fairhaven for a millennium.
So, I don't know, something like, he turned to matchmaking while the ship was a-breaking.
While the ship was a-breaking.
And something about aluminium. Or aluminum, as you guys call it.
We're on the right track. There once was a Q from the continuum. He was stuck in Fairhaven for a millennium. He da-da-da-da-da. Okay, I was thinking something like that. Like, there, I don't know what the next line is, but the line after that should be something like, and caused a romance, because he caused the romance.
Okay, so something has to rhyme with romance.
With romance, yes.
To be in the line before that.
Ants and caused a romance.
He caused a romance. He started the romance.
I'm writing it in reverse.
Wearing green shiny pants.
He did something before the romance.
He's wearing green pants. He wore some green pants and caused a romance.
And then it has to rhyme with continuum.
It could be kind of a defective rhyme. It doesn't have to be a perfect rhyme. It could be something like tritanium or something, you know.
How are we going to define Janeway and Chakotay finally starting a relationship with each other by talking about tritanium?
I don't know.
It's not kind of what I think of, first of all, really.
Their love was as strong as tritanium.
There you go.
Their love was as strong as tritanium.
Beautiful.
Can we recite the whole thing? I'm not sure. I'm not sure we ever really put the whole thing together. There's something about green pants and a romance.
From the continuum.
There was the cue from the continuum.
From the continuum.
He was stuck in Fairhaven for a millennium.
He wore green shiny pants and caused a romance.
And their love was as strong
love
as...
Love was as strong as tritanium.
Two limericks! Bam!
If you gave me 50,000 pack leads and 50,000 typewriters, yes. We would not have produced that limerick.
No. Wow.
Wow.
I could not have predicted that limerick at the beginning of the show, so there you go.
I couldn't have predicted this entire conversation at the beginning of the show.
I worry a little bit that we have basically made Fairhaven into a farce, which it already kind of is anyway, but it's...
It was already... It's just a farce that we like the end
of. I'm not like you guys. You guys don't like Fairhaven. I like Fairhaven. So I worry.
If you're going to go all in.
I worry I am hurting Fairhaven's feelings because I actually don't mind Fairhaven.
It's a holodeck program. It has no feelings.
Tell that to the doctor.
Maybe you like the whole Janeway, Michael Sullivan thing.
I do.
But aside from that, the episode basically has no plot. Nothing else happens.
Ours has more of a plot, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got quests. It's got Q. It's got leprechauns.
It has quests. It has limericks.
Limericks.
It has punch-ups. Better ones.
Irish translations of Italian literature.
It's got Q, man. You can't go wrong.
And it has Janeway and Chakotay. So I think we've pretty much covered all
bases
there.
Well, I do think the golden nugget here is that Q and his campiness is a pretty good match for Fairhaven and its campiness.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Q made Fairhaven better, which I didn't think was possible.
It all got better when Q showed up.
Yeah, that was a good insight. I appreciate that.
I actually hadn't thought of that before we started recording. It just happened.
Yeah.
I just really like the fact that we've given everybody stuff to do because, you know, during the quest part, everybody's going to get a little bit of a moment.
Well, Fairhaven does have this fundamental problem where it's like, okay, what do you do in Fairhaven once you're there? So what?
Exactly.
Right. So we need something for everyone to do. And if everyone can go on
it
this
needs
little...
needs a plot.
Yeah, a group effort.
Quest, intrigue. Yeah.
It needs a quest. Like it's the Legend of Zelda or something inside Fairhaven.
The Legend of Q.
The Legend of Q.
So who's Link?
Captain Janeway.
Even though Link is a male. Or is Link female? I think, isn't Link female in the new one? I don't know. I haven't seen the new one yet.
I have no idea. And Chakotay is the little fairy. Oi! Hey!
Yeah, whatever.
Hey!
Well, if Chakotay is a fairy wearing a tattoo, it's an awfully little tattoo. So Q is justified in saying mine's bigger if Chakotay is fairy-sized with a tattoo. Well, you guys, it's been fun doing our Fairhaven rewrite, but Irish stereotypes aren't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, the 602 Club.
I saw Spaceballs first.
That's funny.
Because, of course, I'm, you know, the huge Star Wars fan, and that is a hilarious spoof of Star Wars, but Mel Brooks works in all of these other great spoofs along with that.
Melodic Treks.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell stories about, I don't know, not just themes, but characters and connections between characters that matter. Because I tend to write songs that are metaphors cloaked in metaphors. So it's the truth in plain sight. I always write the truth in plain sight. It's always right there waiting. But sometimes if you're not paying attention, if you can't see through the metaphor, then you don't see what the truth is.
Stage 9, a podcast about the people who make Star Trek.
I don't know much more than the fact that the entire time I was watching it, I didn't believe that a single thing in that was actual documentary footage in any way, and that the woman that was supposedly this psychologist was anything but an actress.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out these shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button. That helps us out greatly, and it makes it easier for other listeners to find the show as they search iTunes. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, and now also on Google Play and YouTube. And, of course, you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website and grab the RSS link as well.
Another way you can help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week is to become a patron of Network on Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, you'll find our current goals and different milestone contribution levels, along with all the great perks we have for you. These perks include early access to content, exclusive content, producer credits, seats on our content development team, and more. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you can find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We'd like to thank the rest of the To The Journey team from around the network. C. Brian Jones, our founder and publisher. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp. Aaron Harvey, our art director. Richard Marquez, our production manager. And Brandon Shamatala, our Patreon manager. And we'd also like to give a really big shout out to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Drew Kim, and Richard Marquez. Thank you very much for your support of Trek FM and of To The Journey.
We also have a new iTunes review that we wanted to share, and if you leave us a review of To The Journey on iTunes, we are very likely to read your review here on the podcast. This review comes from a user by the handle of Phaser Fodder with a title, It's All About The Chemistry. And Phaser Fodder says, Voyager wasn't my favorite flavor of Trek, but TTJ is helping me grow an appreciation of the characters and story elements. It's always amusing, sometimes informative, and frequently LOL funny. The trio of hosts do a great job sharing the space and keeping the conversation moving. I find myself looking forward to the new episode every week. So thanks for that great review, and we are still just amazed that anyone wants to listen to us talk about Voyager. Especially with our limerick writing ability.
No, they're not tuning in for the limericks.
Yes, they are. Also remember to check out Enterprise in Space, a project of the nonprofit National Space Society. Visit enterpriseinspace.org to find out more and get your seat on the mission. Also check out audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your desktop or mobile device. To get your free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Kay, why don't you tell our listeners how they can send us their Irish limericks?
Well, if you want to contact us, there's loads of ways you can do that. Go to our website at trek.fm/contact. There is a form there. You can also leave us a voicemail if you look in the sidebar on our show page, or go to speakpipe.com/trekfm. You can find us on Twitter, @trekfm. You can find us on Facebook under facebook.com/trekfm. And also on Facebook, you can find us in our listeners-only group, The Babel Conference. Type B-A-B-E-L into the search field, or you can go to our website at trek.fm and click discussion on the menu bar. We also invite you to leave a rating and a review of To The Journey on iTunes, and we would really love to hear any feedback you have or suggestions for the show. Zachary, when you're not reading Dante's Inferno on a train platform, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek FM as co-host of MetaTrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy, along with my co-host Mike Morrison over there. You can also find me in the Babel Conference if you want to talk about Star Trek with me there. And you can find me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And Suzanne, when you're not enjoying a big bowl of Lucky Charms, where can our listeners find you on the Trek FM network and around the interwebs?
Well, like a leprechaun, I'll occasionally pop up in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is at KJaneWay8. That's the letter K, Janeway, and the number 8. And K, if somebody wants to have a proper pint of Guinness with you, where can they find you?
Well, when I'm back from Ireland, they'll be able to find me in Babel Conference, hanging out in there, chatting away with people. And if you want to look me up on Twitter, my handle is ChocoWeeble.
Well, everyone, join us next week when we'll be podcasting from the Ox and Lamb. But until then, this has been To The Journey.